Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio, on Biz Radio and channelradio.co.uk/2 on this Tuesday, the 16th of January. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host.
Me.
It's her. It's only her.
Is Ms. Bird on a bike?
Is Ms. Bird on a bike. How you doing, Bird?
I'm really well, actually.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm full of beans today.
Are you?
Yes.
You had them for breakfast or lunch?
No.
Right.
No, I'm training massive, so energies have gone boom.
What are you training for now?
Well, two things. Got London Marathon this year.
You're doing the marathon, are you?
Yeah.
Have you got your number?
Not yet.
Okay.
No.
Have you done it before?
Yeah, three times before.
Have you? What's your best time?
3:27.
Wow.
So what are you aiming for this year, then?
Yes. Well, Jonathan, it's a bit, little bit different. So if I can get 3:40, so if I can get, and I hate this phrase.
Is this because you're getting older?
I knew you were going to say that. And this is what I was going to say then. Here, what? I'll tell you about age. This is the very funny thing. Yeah. So no, I want to get in this awful phrase, a good for age category.
Right.
So I want to get a place for next year so you're good for your age. Isn't that awful?
Yeah.
Isn't that awful?
Yeah.
Anyway, but on Saturday, I'm racing for the Nationals as well on my bike. What?
I was going to ask you, because I saw a post from you saying that you were doing some...
Racing.
Actual racing.
Yeah. On my bike.
Is this velodrome racing or...
Well, it's the outdoors. So you know where the velodrome is in Stratford?
Yeah, yeah.
So it goes around the outside of that and they do what it's called crit racing. So
it's called what?
Crit racing. Yeah, criteria racing. So you're in a group of, it was women specific on Saturday, but this weekend coming up, I'm going to be, I'm going to be riding with the men. So that'll be hilarious. I nearly said something really funny that I knew you were going to pick up.
I was waiting. I was poised to leap on that.
I know.
And you didn't say it.
I didn't say it. Anyway, so, but you're there with the national, you know, the elites, and there's little old me at the
you're going to smash them now, aren't you?
Well, no, because no, but it will change my fitness. So yeah, so that's why. So it really interesting how then it alters your energy levels. Mm. So I'm buzzing.
Are you?
Well, I'm with you. How are you?
I'm all right. Now I want to continue talking. Because it's interesting. I'm interested. So, have you had to change your diet and training regime for this?
No, I'm pretty lean on my diet anyway. So nutrition's bang. Mm. I'm changing. Obviously, when you're marathon training, and then I'm still doing lots of cycling as well. I have to balance it. Mm. So I've got some great advice on that. Mm. But what was really interesting. And I said this on the way home. We were on our way back and we were analysing the race. And you can look at all your metrics. You need metrics. You need a power meter on your bike. You need to know what your heart rate's doing. You need to know what your body is doing and how you respond to it. Mm. You cannot gain experience unless you're prepared to go into the arena.
Yep, that's true.
You can't do it. Mm. I wouldn't have been able to understand how you race. I wouldn't have been able to understand the strategies, the feeling of, as the pack move away from you, what do you do? Do you just think, oh, that's it, now I'm here? Or do you keep fighting? You cannot gain any experience unless you're prepared to stand in the arena and fail. And I failed epic.
Mm-hmm.
So I came last. I loved it.
Failure is a massive component of success. If you can't fail, you can't succeed.
Yeah.
It's one of my big things, is to try to get people to embrace failure.
You don't know what success feels like, do you?
I mean, exactly.
What's fantastic about success, unless you've got something to compare it with, in a sense?
Mm.
Yeah, exactly.
And actually, I was so successful because I learned so much. Mm. My mind, I was taking on so much. The girls scream and they're shouting at each other to keep their line. And you've got this massive hairpin bend. Mm. How do I know how to race it unless I go into the race? Mm. And it's the same. You can take those skills and transfer them anywhere.
Yeah.
Absolutely anywhere. So even in business, if you're fearful of stuff. You know, I was the oldest in the group. I could have been any group. I mean, they're all under 25. So I could be their mum. I'm probably going to be the mama of the group now, which is very funny. And it really, it's not a bother to me, those things. It's my perspective of what I came away from it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And
yeah.
I all power to you, Bird. I really do.
I loved
it. All joking aside,
honestly, Steve and I was like, oh my God. And he's just laughing at me because I literally embraced every moment, you know, to just how do you prepare your bike? How do you prepare you? How do you, what could I have done? Did I still sprint finish? I promised you. And Stephen said to me, right, take this line, da da da, and when you get to that, you sprint finish. I sprint finished on my own. And it didn't matter because I was still practicing. I was still in the environment, in the arena.
You know, I used to own a motor racing team. And it's exactly the same that, you know, without, to a large extent, you're racing against yourself. If you don't have a massive budget and if you don't have a big manufacturer behind you, you ain't ever going to win. As it happened, we used to win quite a lot, but that's neither here nor there. The fact is that sometimes you just do better than you did last time. Sometimes you're just competing with yourself to improve yourself and to do stuff.
For sure.
And with things mechanical like that, they're not in your control anyway. Things break and all kinds of stuff happens. So it's all a learning experience. No, I get it. No, I love it.
But you can transfer that.
Yeah.
And the more I practice it, the more I practice it, the more I practice it, the results might not get better. But I will learn something. I will learn skills that are invaluable.
Absolutely.
So, yes, thanks.
Nice one. Cool. So, good stuff. Anyway, let's crack on with the show. We'd like to hear from you, the businesses out there in the southeast of England, and you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can, in fact, call me on 01233 220035. That's Ashford, 01233 220035. You can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air, and we would like you to interact with us live on air because it's good fun, isn't it? And we had massive conversations last week. So do keep that up. You can tweet me at VanillaWeb, and please use the hashtag BeBunker so that we can find your tweet. But do tweet us in. We've had a few trillion tweets already, so that's cool.
Have we?
Yeah, and we'll read those. What we have done, based on a conversation we had last week, though, is I've kind of minimised the emails we got to read this week because we had so many we couldn't read them all anyway. Yeah. And some of them were getting, like, epic proportions at War and Peace level. Mm. So we're trying to reduce that down a bit.
Yeah.
But I'd like to say thank you to this week's, today's show sponsor, who a networking group, Networkers Networking, which is taking place in Faversham on the 8th of February. And I've got this.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed.
So that's a Networkers Networking event. It's taking place on Thursday, the 8th of February, and it's happening at the Champneys at Eastwell Manor. And there are some great speakers there. There's Ash Lawrence, Deborah Turner, and Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, and also most of the top networking groups and masterminding groups will be represented at the event. So basically, the idea behind this is you can go, if you're interested and keen in networking and improving your networking, so you don't have to go to every group individually to find out which is best for you. They're all in one place. So you can hear from us all, from all of the networking groups, find out which are the ones that suit you best. And then we've got three great speakers as well. So there's an early bird booking fee. And as long as you book before the 21st of January, it's £17 to attend the event with refreshments but no lunch, or £26 to attend with refreshments and lunch. That's the early bird booking by the 21st of January. If you want to find out all the details and or book your place, if you go to butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/NNE. That's butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/NNE.
Nice.
Cool. What you got, Bird?
Oh, I'm going to go straight into some emails just because we're... Come on, everybody, talk to us on Twitter.
Yep.
Last week, it went mad, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
This week, it's gone a bit slow.
So far, we've got a few tweets coming, so we'll read some of those in a minute. But I suppose we haven't really talked about anything very much yet.
No.
Apart from cycling and everybody's...
Well, do you know what? We haven't really talked about cycling. It's the racing, but it's really interesting. You know, we were talking last week about cyclists and Holfords and how they were saying about, you know, cyclists and da-da-da-da. You know, Kent, I don't know what to do because I'm spending a lot of time on the road and their tower, it's not safe at the minute out there, especially with the wind and so people...
Potholes.
So last week we had, oh, well, it's all right for you cyclists, you weave in and out. I have no choice but to weave in and out. Mm. And also, I'm coming to the middle of the road. Mm. We need to, you know, we need to remember that I'm a human on a bike. Mm. If you try and clip me, you may really hurt me. So there's my rant over.
Absolutely. No, it's a problem, isn't it? And our roads aren't fit for purpose for anything, let alone bicycles.
No, exactly. Bicycles?
Bicycles.
So I've got to know, what, since there's another rant there, what rant was it last week that caused all the excitement then? And well, who had it?
It was both of us, Jonathan. We were It was a bouncing rant. It wasn't a rant. We were just talking about how Halfords have done a survey and asked their motorists, would they prefer cyclists to have aluminium, you know, so like brightly coloured helmets, jackets? Because rightly so, a lot of biking gear is black. So I get it. It's like, well, that's what the marketplace is selling us. So as a cyclist, I love to wear all different colours, whites, reds, you know, but it's a lot of black. And Halfords were obviously saying, you know, all cyclists create a lot of accidents and blah, 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 blah. And actually, that's not the case. And I'm saying, look, you know, I get that, yes, we want to be seen. But even when you see me, you don't make enough room for me. You don't acknowledge me or focus and say, oh, my gosh, I'm going to give you X amount of space. You have to look at me as a bike, as another vehicle. You must give me that width away. How many people do you see that? I can tell a cyclist who's driving a car by how much respect they give me and width. You know, we've had people clip us, you know, because they're like, get out the road, beeping at you. You have to treat me like another vehicle just because I'm going at 20, 30 miles an hour.
Yeah. It's like most of these things, isn't it? The solutions are never utterly simple.
Never. Yeah. Never.
So at the same time, you do want to have people who are going to be sensible and wear bright things so they are spotted.
For sure.
And that's their side of the bargain.
Yeah. Mm.
And the driver's side of the bargain is just as you've summarised.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it's like we do in every area of life. We spend an awful lot of time pointing the finger at somebody else.
Of course.
Asking them to
change. Of course. Mm.
But when we come onto gender, that's an issue there. We ask everyone else to change rather than saying, I'm going to point the finger at myself first.
Mm. But here's the honesty. Sorry, you've got a car.
Do you want your show back? Sorry about
that. Yeah,
but you've got a car. I'm a human on a bike. I have no protection. You clip me with your car. It's totally different. We've got egos going on here.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, a few weeks ago, I had a bit of a rant about acuity, which is one of the things that I'm really keen on, which is being aware of what's going on around you and stop reacting to things that you see just because you agree with them. Yeah, you know, check what you're agreeing with first, because most of it's nonsense. But in this particular instance, one of the problems that we have is that, and I'm quite keen on this with cyclists, the quality of our roads is not good enough. The edge of the carriageways, leaving aside the pothole nuisance, the edge of our carriageways in which a bicycle, a cycle drives, is broken up. If you're aware of that as a driver, you know that just because there's somebody bobbing up and down on a bicycle in front of you, at any minute they could swerve in front of you because they're faced with a giant pothole. And that pothole could do them serious, serious damage if they hit it. I mean, it's bad enough hitting it in a car, but you hit it in a motorbike or a bicycle and you're in big trouble.
You're going to have double punctures, everything.
Yeah, but you're going to go over the handlebars and all kinds of things, so which is going to be worse. So as a driver, you have to have more acuity about the road conditions and what that might mean to a cyclist or a motorcycle or anybody else's behaviour.
Yeah, but I agree with you. There are cyclists who are an absolute, you know, red lights just, and you're like, come on, it doesn't give the rest of us a great reputation. So I'm with you. But
When I'm saying about point the finger at yourself, I'm not saying cyclists do that. I'm saying every one of us in every aspect of life. We're all very quick to, you know, the driver's very quick to blame the cyclist for doing that. Yeah. The cyclist's very quick to respond. I guess all of us have got to recognise that if we want to see change, we have to start with ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's probably going to come on to what
Absolutely. About, I suspect. Absolutely. We've had a tweet from Chris Hyde of Chameleogenics, and he says, have a great show, Paul and crew. Can I have a shout-out, please? Don't forget, we have a free Lean for Entrepreneurs webinar at 8 p.m. on February the 8th. February the 8th, and he's given me a link to sign up with, which is Chameleogenics. Let me spell that for you. That's Chameleogenics, chameleogenics.co.uk/lean course. So, or follow Chris on the Twitter at Chameleogenics. Mm. So, and do get involved in that webinar, because that's fascinating stuff.
Well, we've got loads of people responding to me failing on Saturday. Thank you very much, everybody. We've got Tracy Ferguson saying, love the failure conversation. It's like everything. How can you experience and appreciate the highs fully until you have felt and experienced the lows? Well, here, Tracy, I really don't think there's going to be many highs, because I don't think I'm going to win it.
Years ago, this might not mean anything to some of you that are younger. There's a chap who's still around called Tom Peters. And Tom Peters wrote a book called In Search of Excellence. And he wrote it in 1982. And it was the very first business book that reached the number one spot on the New York bestseller list. And it was a book talking about how to be good in business. And Tom became very, very well known, a cult figure on the speaking circuit. And I was lucky enough to speak on the same platform as him at the Queen Elizabeth Centre in Victoria back at the end of the 80s. And there was a huge amount of corporate executives in the audience. And there were some guys from IBM who at that time were really, really in charge of IT. They had, you know, they were Microsoft and Apple in one, basically, at the time. And there was a senior exec, and Tom was saying something, and this guy was trying to argue with him. And Tom rounded on him and went, listen, he said, if you haven't been fired by the time you're 30, you just ain't trying hard enough. And the audience all went, and he went, get yourself fired. What are you messing about at? Yeah. He said, unless you failed at something, you ain't doing anything. Yeah. You're just doing corporate motions. And it kind of shocked a few people back then. But, you know, it's something that I took on board, because when you think about it, you know, it's learning to ride a bike, going back to bikes. You know, your mum might put stabilisers on them, but at some point you've got to take the stabilisers off. And when you do, you're going to fall off, because that's how you learn to ride a bike.
Chris Hyde just sent through a lovely message. He's put Vanilla Webb and Burden a Bike on failure. I think Edison said about creating the light bulb, I didn't fail. I just found thousands of ways not to do it before I succeeded.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I love that.
Yeah. Exactly. Everything's experimentation. Everything's a learning process.
But it's also perception.
Yeah.
You know, I could have gone up there and thought, oh my God. But it's your perception. You know, you learn so much by getting into the arena. That's all I can say.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's everything.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, let's have a bit of music.
Oh, what and have a little you picked break. This
well,
week?
Well, something quite straightforward, really.
Nice. Should we dance?
You could. Are you asking?
Always. You start to freeze.
close at hand. Creatures crawl in search of blood to terrorize your neighborhood. And whosoever shall be found without the soul for getting down must stand and face the hounds of hell and rot inside a corpse's shell.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
ZC Live, bringing a digital one-day event to Kent with Zoe Cairns. ZC Live, register for your free place. Visit zcsocialmedia.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent Business Community today.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed.
Grow your business with Kent's best business events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on Kent Business Radio, Biz Radio and channelradio.co.uk/2 on this Tuesday the 16th of January with me, Paul Andrews, and my lovely co-host, Miss on a Bike, Bird on a Bike.
All right.
You're right.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what, we've got two great guests that we're going to talk to, and we're going to talk to the first of those shortly, Maureen. Before we do that, we'll just catch up on some of the tweets that are coming in because it's starting to roll now and we've got some emails. While you're searching through the tweets, young Bird, I'm going to read a couple of these out, all right? It's the Marsh Networking Group, and they've got a few events coming up. I'm going to tell you all about the events. If you want to book any of them or find out any more details, then go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/blog and Marsh Events, and all of them are there. So there's next Tuesday, the 23rd of January, is After Hours Networking at the Ship in the High Street Dimchurch, and that's from 5 p.m. And then there's Networking Over Coffee on the 7th of February. That's at 10 a.m. at the Sinkport Arms in New Romney High Street. And then we're back to After Hours Networking on the 20th of February at 5 p.m. back at the Ship in Dimchurch. And then coffee at the Sinkport Arms in New Romney on the 7th of March at 10 a.m. And then After Hours Networking on the 20th of March at the Ship in Dimchurch. If you want to book any of those, go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/blog.
Lots and lots of networking going on.
Yeah, there is. Yeah,
and
there
then is. Not networking.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. I was just looking at, so we've got ABC Networks. They're friendly and effective. And they've asked for a shout out for a kickstart of success. And their next meeting is the 26th of January. Another one is Dragon Co-working. They're Waffle 2.0.
Yeah.
Whatever that may be.
Well,
they give waffles out, don't
they?
Yeah, they
do. It's a kind of triple pun, really, isn't it? Because Waffle's one of the versions of Android, isn't it?
And they're waffling versatile. Do you
yeah,
remember that?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Well, they've got the best non-networking event ever, and that's January the 18th at 4 p.m. and that's at Dragon Co-working. So yeah, loads going on. Also, just to follow on from that jingle.
Yeah.
Do we call them a jingle?
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. ZC Live. Actually, we've got a date for it now, which is Friday the 1st of June at Strood Academy, Rochester in Kent, 8:30 till 4 p.m. If you have not been to ZC Live, it's a one-day social media and digital event. It is awesome.
It is. Fabulous speakers. I've been chair of the last two. It's a free event.
Yeah.
It's a totally free event. You could just rock up there. We had hundreds of people at the last one. It was absolutely brilliant. We blew away some people. Yeah. We'll talk to Jonathan about this later. One of the things that had happened, talking to people about getting in, this is a couple of years ago when they were first launched, talking to people about getting into social media, a lot of professional service firms were kind of walking away from it. Lawyers and accountants and guys, oh, no, client confidentiality, yada, yada, yada. So we had a speaker from the Ministry of Defence who stood up and showed us live Twitter feeds of them bombing places, yeah, and went, this is a live feed, this is an airstrike happening right at this moment. And people were going, isn't that classified? And it goes, no, it scares the enemy. Absolutely crapless.
Yeah.
And they said, but why are you showing everybody? Well, because we can and because they do.
Mm.
And it was a real eye-opener about the kind of things that NATO were putting out onto social media. Was absolutely unbelievable stuff, you know, that once upon a time would have been a state secret and you could just tap into it and watch it. It was unbelievable. And it really blew people away.
And also, what I noticed last year was, is obviously myself and Debs were going around doing Facebook Live all the time. We were doing live streaming. Everybody wanted to come and say, oh my God, you're doing live streaming. And there's a big shift. If you even watch now all the platforms, everything is video. Yeah. Everything. Yeah. So you need to come to this. Who needs to come? How to build your online presence? Super important. How to become a successful influencer? How do you influence? How do you persuade people? How to turn your knowledge into a product? Super important again. And how to increase your leads. So that is the 1st of June, which is always a good day, isn't it? 1st of June, it's a Friday, 8:30 till 4 p.m. in Rochester.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, Bird. Do you know what? We're going to talk to our first guest. It's an absolute pleasure to bring some decorum and some brains and some professionalism to
grace.
The show. Yeah, grace. Yeah, I think that's the way I put it. It's a pleasure to welcome Maureen Chiana to the show. Maureen, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Why don't you kick off by telling the listener a bit about you and what you do, and then we'll kind of go from there.
Cool. Right. A neural leadership coach and mentor, and I specialize in leadership and resilience. And the whole idea is helping entrepreneurs, business owners, corporate businesses, and leaders to use their brains smarter.
Okay.
So what that means is, in anything you're doing, okay, yeah, as you employ people, we need skills, we need knowledge, we need experience. But if you don't engage your brain effectively, you'd just be going around in circles.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I look at organizations, you know, look at some managers that have risen up the ranks, they get in, they suddenly become leaders, become managers, and find that, yeah, when they were, you know, as employees, they were fine because they knew what they were doing. They had the skills, they had the knowledge. But as they become leaders or managers, they struggle.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. When I had a proper job many, many years ago, working in corporate, what you saw, and it happened to me too, what you saw is people were promoted into jobs because of their technical skills, and they were promoted into leadership positions because they were technically good. So for me, as a 20-year-old working for a bank, my skills were in technology, and I suddenly became vice president of electronic banking with 500 people working for me. And you go, well, I'm okay with computers, but what do I do with this lot?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So people get promoted to leadership positions based on their technical skills, not their leadership skills. And it always struck me that leadership is just a skill like anything else. But we use it, or have done in the past, and I'd like your views on this, we use it as a reward mechanism rather than a skill mechanism.
You're absolutely right. Because what happens, and this is quite broad, actually, you know, that carrot and stick, you've done well, this is a reward, you either become a leader, but forgetting to look at the actual behavior, characteristics, or attitude of the person. Do they have those leadership skills?
Mm.
But also, even as an entrepreneur, you go into business, yes, you're good at the craft you do, but are you actually a people's person? Do you have the skills to be an effective leader? So it's the whole thing is just, even as an individual or as a business owner, the main thing is, first of all, start with you, with that awareness. Who am I? Mm. What skills do I have? And then if you identify what you have or what your staff don't have, it's helping them develop those skills or learn how to get them to enable them achieve or do or carry out the, you know, the job that they want to do effectively. Mm. You know, so what I've done is created a framework that starts with what I call rewire your brain, which is the first bit, is looking at what your beliefs are, your perceptions. I know with Bird, we are talking about failure. And that's how I really got into it. It's how you perceive failure. Yeah. You know, because in business and whatever you do, you will fail. Mm. Life is just a constant change. Mm. How do you react to it? How do you view it? How do you see it? Because if you actually see failure as just something that you learn from, it's a completely different outlook, and you'll approach it differently. Sure. To when you see it as, okay, I've failed. What will people say? How do I look? What do I do? Then you stay stuck.
Do you find this? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but this is kind of based on my feelings and things that I've come across. And I totally agree with you. You know, as an entrepreneur myself, so many people, entrepreneurs are really interesting characters because they tend not to be managers. That's not really what they're there to do. And what happens is things start to go wrong for entrepreneurs when their business starts to scale up and become a proper business. Yeah. They get bored, first of all, because it's not where they want it to be. And then they're tasked with managing people that they don't particularly like. But one of the interesting things is that I've seen throughout my career is so many people promoted into or thrust into a leadership position then assume that they have to be right about everything.
Yeah, no, yeah. You're spot on. That is so true. Mm. And I think that comes from the fact that it's a reward. Yeah. So I know what I'm doing. Mm. So I'm now a manager. I know what to do.
Yeah.
And it still comes back to the same thing, not being able to deal with humans, yeah. not being able to deal with people. Because, you see, the key thing is, okay, yeah, you're now a manager, but you've got human beings that are working with you. So, yes, they've got the skills, but what of the person? Mm. And the fact is that when you really start looking at the individual, you get more out of your staff than when you're pushing and, you know, expecting so much from them. Mm. But if you really start caring about them, you know, the empathy, the emotional intelligence, you end up gaining a lot more. And it also comes to, you know, going back to what you said, one of the results of being like that is lack of delegation, because they believe that they know it all, they're doing everything, and then before you know it, they're burnt out themselves or going off with stress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just a vicious circle. And I think the key is to, first of all, if you're going to promote people into managerial positions or leadership positions, or if you as a person wants to become an entrepreneur, gain the skills that you need and, you know, to get into that role. Surely people skills, the brain itself is a social organ. It's a completely social organ. So if you neglect that social aspect of the brain, you know, you're wasting your time because, one, you will suffer stress, you suffer burnout, you end up not being productive in what you're doing.
Mm.
And like you said, with entrepreneurs, once you come against the first problem, you know, some of them might check out, the rest will just succumb to stress, you know, and it's a case of, I can't do this. And it's that whole belief system or awareness of who you are that is the key. And that's the starting point.
It never ceases to amaze me when you look at people, how they have this inner need to be right about things that they don't know anything about. And it kind of always amazes me that maybe it's just because I'm fascinated and curious, but I like to find out what other people think, and I like to find out what's going on, and I like to learn stuff. So I find it much easier to just go, well, I don't know, what do you think we should do? I don't know.
But don't we confuse management and leadership?
Yeah.
So in other words, there's a tendency to appoint someone to a role without understanding, and then they say, well, I'm a manager, therefore I am a leader.
Yeah.
And Johnny Wilkinson, in a sort of fit of exasperation the other day, former England rugby player, talking about the England rugby team, said people were saying, well, how many leaders are out there? Who sees themselves as a leader? And he said, that's not what you see, it's what others see that makes you a leader. So it's what others are seeing in you that makes a leader. Mm. And I find it really interesting. We seem to equate management and leadership entirely together, where if you look at, you know, you've got the oldest notion of a leader is that you look at a shepherd. Sometimes a shepherd is in front of the sheep, leading them. Sometimes he's behind, shooing them forward. Sometimes he's in the middle, carrying the sheep, because that's what's needed. And that, so, you know, and if we can translate some of those concepts of leadership back to understanding what we mean about management, we'd get management, which becomes often more servant-hearted leadership. Mm. It'd be a completely different view, rather than just saying, oh, I now have to be, I have to be a leader because I have been appointed to this role. As you say, I've got to be right. I've got to be important. Yeah.
And I think the whole thing comes back to the mindset.
Yeah.
You know, so what mindset do you have? Because if, you know, Carol Dweck divided them into two, you know, when she was looking at mindset, a growth mindset and a fixed mindset. The fact is, if you have a growth mindset, just similar to what Paul, you're saying, is that you're willing to learn. You're not afraid to learn. You're willing to ask questions when you don't know.
Yeah.
But the problem is the other type of person that has a fixed mindset, it's that belief that, you know, they already believe that they don't know, or they know, or if they, you know, and if they don't know, it's that whole idea that I don't want people to know what I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't want people to be, to kind of look at me and think I don't know,
yeah,
or realize that I don't know. So what you end up doing is, oh, if I ask a question, I will come across as not knowing, and that will not make me look good.
Yeah.
You know, and so it comes back to, you know, what mindset do you have? And once you identify what you do, because when I go into organizations, that's one of the things that we look at. What, in fact, even as the organization, what kind of mindset is it? Do you have a growth mindset where you're creating the environment for people to learn? Or are you creating an environment that people are even scared to ask the question or to make mistakes? Because if you create an environment where people are scared to make mistakes, they'll be scared to try.
Yeah. And we've already discussed how important failure is.
Absolutely. Yeah. And in a situation like that, there'll be lack of creativity, you know, because people are too scared to, you know, even scared to even bring ideas because they don't want to be seen to not be right.
I'll tell you a very, very quick story. I used to work for Citibank, an American bank, and they hired some management consultants to do a survey. It's called EARS, the Employee Attitude Reaction Survey. I still remember this. It's 35 years ago, but it was still hilarious. It was a blind survey, so basically that you could say whatever you want, you could input your ideas, you could do whatever you wanted to do, and there was no comeback. You know, they said, we just want the ideas from the workforce. So they spent 3 months going around interviewing people, and they produced a report and da da da. I get a phone call one day from the senior management. They go, can you come and see us? I go, yes, I've got it. And they go, we're not happy with what you told management consultants. And I went, hold on a minute. I thought... there was supposed to be no comeback. And yeah, but we knew it was you. So we're not happy. Well,
yeah,
there you
exactly
go.
But you see, that will, next time you won't want to say anything.
So you do,
but,
yeah,
absolutely. Exactly. But you see, and that way you struggle to even grow because you're stifling people's, you know, knowledge. Mm. And, you know, it comes back to, you know, using that brain. For example, in organizations, you have people or even, you know, individuals that run businesses not being in control of their emotions.
Yeah.
You know, and I think for me, the key, I always say, is, the, you know, knowledge is power.
Yeah.
Once you know what's going on in your brain, you know, you're a winner.
Yeah.
Because then you know what to do. For example, you know, I've been in situations where people are in meetings and suddenly someone says something. The next person is jumping up. You know, why did you say that? And it's all the perception of what he believed the other person said.
Yep.
And before you could blink, he was in a rant. Mm. And, you know, we call that amygdala hijack, where completely that small part of the brain had completely taken over and completely blocked his whole thinking. Mm. So he ended up behaving so irrationally that when we spoke to him later, he went, I don't know where that came from.
Mm.
I really don't know where that came from. But the fact is that that is something is in his subconscious that was triggered.
Mm.
But because he lacked the awareness immediately, and you see it happening so many times in organizations.
Absolutely. So. It does. It's a fascinating topic, Maureen, and we could talk about this lots. I think you've got a couple of things happening fairly soon now, haven't you, that we want to just make people aware of?
Yeah, I've got a goal-setting workshop coming up on Saturday the 20th in Ashford here. And it's I call it the neuroscience of goal-setting. So it's actually goal-setting with the brain as in mind. So what we're looking at is exactly how the brain, how to set goals that will enable you to achieve them. Because, you know, so many people set goals, have New Year's resolutions that are broken after some time. Mm. So one of the key things is habits, and it's how the brain actually enables you to keep those habits or change the ones you don't have. So, and the other thing I have is an online course for entrepreneurs, which is on mindset change and helping you to develop leadership and forming better relationships with clients or people. So it's on the website, and I've got a first month you only pay £1, but that offer is going to stop middle of February, so you need to rush in and
get in with
it.
Your pound now.
Exactly. Yeah. Cool. So £1 for the first month, and then it's £39 a month, or you pay £345 for the year. Yeah. And it's 12 modules that takes you right from the beginning, which is looking at your beliefs, your awareness, right through to adaptability, how you deal with change, how you deal with, different things that you come across in your business, on your emotions, stress management, resilience, to actual transformation. So I actually even look at things like meditation and a bit on mindfulness, but looking at it from a scientific perspective.
Fantastic. It sounds really interesting. If people want to find out more about this or book their places on either of those opportunities, where's the best place to go to do that?
It would be on the website. For the goal setting course, it's maureenchiana.uk/neuro-goal-setting. But you will find that on the website as well.
Okay.
And then the online course is on the website as well.
Okay. All the links to Maureen's website, excuse me, are on the Kent Business Radio website.
Yeah.
They will stay there forever. So if you want to find out more about this, you go to the Kent Business Radio website, click on the links, and it will take you straight to Maureen's website.
Yeah. And it's maureenchiana.com.
Yeah. That's C-H-I-A-N-A. And that's also your Twitter handle, is it not?
That's right.
So do give Maureen a follow on the Twitter as well, because she's a very interesting and fascinating lady. We could talk about this much more.
Oh, I could go on. If you leave me here, I'll go on for 2 days. Yeah.
For the moment, though, Maureen, thank you so much for that. And it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. And we'll explore some of these, because I know these are the kind of things that Jonathan's interested in as well.
What Maureen's saying is absolutely fascinating. It'd be great to hear more of it.
Yeah. So for the moment, Maureen, thank you so much. Do check it out. Do check out our website. We're going to do a couple more tweets, and then we're going to do the FSB news roundup before we get to the half point in the show.
Roger.
Okay. Have you got anything lined up?
I have.
Go on.
We've got Alexi Consulting. They've asked for a shout out. Here you go. So it's for their development program today. They've got special discounts at the FSB Kent. So you need to go on and for supplying my biz members. So businesses have so much hidden opportunity if they develop their productivity management skills. So that's a massive shout out for Alexi Consultant.
Thank you. The lovely Linda Garcia.
Yes. I wonder how she is post Christmas.
Yeah, she had an epic Christmas, didn't
she? She's always away. How does she do it?
Yeah.
How do you do it, Linda?
Yeah. She was.
It's not fair.
Yeah, she was. I saw pictures of her and Mario on some kind of road trip in some open top American sports car thingy.
I love it.
Yeah. Too much fun. Eh?
Yeah.
Yes, too much fun. Linda.
Too much fun, Linda.
I've got a few events that I want to just make you aware of. LinkedIn for Business, which is an intensive workshop that will transform how you get new customers, and it's presented by Jade Pluck, and it's taking place on the 31st of January in Kings Hill. If you want to find out about any of these events, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and click on the Best Business Events tab, they're all there. You can also register your business for the 2018 Canterbury Business Awards. So if you're in Canterbury or East Kent and you want to be nominated, what's the matter? Don't start. You can nominate yourself, and the awards ceremony, the presentation, is taking place on the 29th of March at the Spitfire Ground, St Lawrence. That's the county cricket ground in Canterbury. There's also the Maidstone Business Awards. It's Maidstone, Mid-Kent, and it also includes Kings Hill, Westmoreland and Eastmoreland. So if you have a business based in any of those places, you can put yourself forward for, there's loads of categories. So if you go and look, there's loads of different, there's something like 10 different categories. And the awards ceremony for that takes place on the 26th of June at the Great Danes Hotel at Hollingbourne. So there are three things that you need to look out for there.
Dragon Co-working want to know more about, I love these subjects at the minute, cryptocurrency and blockchaining.
Oh, yeah.
I love talking about this. It's all nonsense. I've got no idea what I'm talking about, but I love talking about it. So come along to their free information event on the 24th of January, and that's at Dragon Co-working. Go and check them out.
I tell you what, there's a lot of people who don't know what they're talking about. I know. Blockchain and cryptocurrency.
I love it. I love it. Do you remember when Thomas Power started to introduce it at, where were we? We were at Spitfire Cricket Ground. Oh my gosh. It must have been March last year.
Yep.
And everybody's like, what's blockchaining?
Yeah.
And it's just gone bigger and bigger and bigger.
I saw an interesting one the other day. A big recruitment company were positing that they were going to do CV management using blockchain technology, which was interesting. I was kind of working out what they thought they meant. To me, it sounded a bit like a bit of a gimmick more than anything
else. They're
just
throwing in on-trend words, do you know what I mean? And making it sound amazing. Yeah, I'll get your blockchain fit.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? It's all that nonsense, isn't it? So record number of small firms in the UK. The UK small businesses contributed a huge $1 trillion to the economy this year. According to new government figures, the latest business population statistics from the Department for Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy show there's now a record, get ready for this, 5.7 million smaller businesses in the UK. We love it, Paul, don't we?
We do indeed.
Proving that despite rising costs and flagging consumer demand, entrepreneurial spirit is not easily shaken.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And growing. The number of startup businesses have grown and grown and grown.
Which would make sense, wouldn't it?
It is the trend of the future. It has been for some time, and politicians have spent a long time over the last 15 years trying to stop it by introducing various stupid things like IR35 and what have you.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about it.
Yeah, and VAT Moss and every other thing they've tried to kill small business startups, but they keep going.
Interesting.
Anyway, there's talking about startups. Bell's Business Beginners event is taking place on the 6th of February from 9:30 till 4, and it's at the Park Plaza Hotel in Victoria in London, providing you vital tools you need to start a business. They're talking about law, the legal implications of hiring staff and how you manage them, plus all the other important legal requirements of running a business. They're talking about managing your money, the most important part of running a business, how to manage your cash flow, how to get the most from your accountant and professional advisors on money matters. They're talking about sales, how to sell yourself, visibility, credibility, and profitability. And they're talking marketing, identifying your ideal client and then using the right platforms for your business. And then they're going to wrap it all up with running a business, covering all the other areas that aren't covered by those. So there's a lot to take in. They have four great speakers on the event. Joanne Bell, who's the founder and owner of Bell's Accountants. David Taylor, who's the co-author of two books on digital and social media marketing. Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, who's the owner of Orchard Employment Law, HR and Employment Law Specialists, and Julia Bernard-Thompson, who is a high-profile sales and business coach. So the Bell's Business Beginners event is a full-day event with lunch and refreshments, and it is taking place on Tuesday, the 6th of February. If you'd like to book your place or to find out more about it, if you go to butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/Bell's Business Beginners. That's butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/Bell's Business Beginners.
Interesting. I've just found an email actually about those two things that I mentioned at Dragon Co-working. So it goes a little bit into more depth here. So if you're thinking, what on earth is cryptocurrency and blockchaining? It says here it's confusing and baffling subject to the ordinary person. Who's ordinary?
Yeah, we're not ordinary.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And it really goes into the technology and the stages and the early adopters. So if you think to yourself, I don't understand this jargon and you need to decipher what it is, then go to that event, which is the 24th of January, and that's at dragoncoworking.co.uk. And also, just to take you back a little bit as well, Waffle 2.0 is sponsored by Clockwork Moggy, which is great, and that's really about networking. They also provide fancy coffee teas with freshly made warm waffles and toppings. So if ever there's an enticement and persuasion, there you go. So go to dragoncoworking.co.uk.
Fantastic.
Channel Radio.
Channel Radio News Update.
Channel Radio News Update.
It's that time in the show when we bring you a news roundup from the folks at the Federation of Small Business. There's some events taking place shortly. There's the Women in Business event on Wednesday the 24th of January. That's taking place from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Beacon in Tunbridge Wells. It's been arranged by Jacqueline Franklin, who is the host of the FSB Women in Business events and Director of Hospitality Media. The guest speaker at that event is Sue Nelson, who's founder and director of Breakthrough Funding. All of the events I'm telling you about now, you can find and book through the Kent Business Radio website by clicking on the FSB tab. I'm running a Skills 3030 event in Dartford at the Lee Academy on Thursday the 25th of January. That's from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. It's completely free. And what we do is we ask 25 to 30 businesses to join us for a morning talking to the talent of the future. Basically, in inspiring A-level students about the world of work and what we as business owners require from them, and hearing from them what Generation Z require of us. And it's a shock. Mm. So you need to be there to find out what Generation Z think about the world of work in the future. We hold loads of these around the county, all over the place. But do please join us on the 25th of January at the Lee Academy. And then there's Slope Off Friday.
Oh,
and it's on a Thursday.
Why?
I think they're going to carry on until Friday.
Is it a 24-hour
stint? I think it's a 24-hour slope off, I think,
nice.
This one. Yeah.
Resilience.
Yeah. It's usually the first Friday of the month, but it's on a Thursday this time at 1:15 to when they finished at the Yarrow Hotel. Relaxed yet dynamic business networking over a spot of lunch and a huge amount of alcohol.
How does any business get done?
I don't know. I've never been to one.
No, me neither.
Yeah, but they're really good, apparently.
All I can just envisage is dancing on the tables.
There is a lot of that. I have seen some periscopes of that, to be fair.
Some periscopes?
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, because that's what Jules does, is periscopes.
She periscopes me. She periscopes me at like 3 a.m. and goes, we're still going.
Do you remember?
The last one. Yeah. She actually texted me at 2:30 a.m. They went to lunch at midday. At 2:30 a.m, she texted me and went, do you know the only place open in Ramsgate is Wetherspoons? I went, really? And she went, yeah, it's not bad, though. It's packed.
Wow.
It's still lunch.
Yeah.
2 a.m.
I know. I don't know.
Anyway,
do it.
What you got?
Loneliness is everyone's business. FSB welcomed the work of Joe Cox Foundation in tackling the UK's epidemic of loneliness this week. As Rachel Reeves, MP, gave a speech to throw a new light on loneliness, FSB's own research has found that working alone is one of the top three challenges of being self-employed. The FSB offers practical support to help combat this, including free business networking events called FSB Connect, which has seen over 4,000 participants in the UK since launching earlier last year now. Exporting small firms remain optimistic. The latest UK trade statistics from the Office of National Statistics show a narrowing of the deficit in the 3 months running up to November 2017. According to the figures, an increase in exports to non-EU countries has contributed to the narrowing of the deficit, showing the importance of new agreements with key markets beyond Europe. Be interesting to see what goes on there.
Absolutely. The FSB has launched a new fintech platform. They've launched a new fintech platform to help further the success of UK small businesses and self-employed communities after research found confidence within the sector had fallen. The FSB Small Business Index quarter four shows only the second negative reading recorded in the last 5 years. So the FSB funding platform, developed by FinPoint, uses intelligent technology to match applicants with finance providers. You can find out more about this by going to fsb.org.uk/benefits/finance.
Apply now for innovation loans. Small businesses with groundbreaking ideas can now apply for new innovation loans from the UK's Innovation Agency to support their growth. This is part of an innovation loans pilot worth 50 million. The first competition, worth 10 million, is for SMEs which want help overcoming barriers to scaling up innovation in infrastructure systems. Apply now and find out more about the loans pilot here. And that's really for you to go to www, which means gov.co.uk, and then go into innovations loans and they'll be able to help you there.
The new T-Levels consultation has been launched. The Department for Education is inviting FSB, it's not cups of tea.
I can't help every time you say it.
Is inviting FSB members to submit their views on the implementation of T-Levels in England. T-Levels will be open to young people aged 16 to 19 years old in 15 subject areas where substantial technical training is needed. The consultation provides more information on the structure and design of T-Levels, including the design of the technical qualifications and compulsory three-month work placement that will be an integral part of the programme. FSB will be submitting a formal response. However, if you wish to share your views, you may do so directly via the consultation or email Education and Skills Policy Advisor Annie Pete. You can follow Annie on the Twitter as well. Pete is P-E-A-T-E. The consultation will last for 10 weeks and will close in February.
Council, here we go. I'm going to waffle on again. Council parking. It's my weekly rant, isn't it? Regime stifles small business community, local authorities could do more to boost growth by taking a more generous approach to parking around local high streets. Now, reacting to the new figures from the RAC Foundation that show 8 million local authority parking penalties are issued annually across England and Wales. And Mike Cherry said introducing schemes like short stay free parking can prove a shot in the arm for town centres.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. Have you got one more?
I have.
Go for it.
More support needed to make tax digital. A new report from HMRC has highlighted how much work is needed to enable the small business community to reap the benefits of digital tax reporting. It finds that one in five firms and landlords are not using digital tax platforms because they lack confidence in their digital skills. Now, the FSB says it's vital that support for these businesses is prioritised over the next 18 months before the 2019 deadline hits for all VAT registered firms to report on VAT digitally.
Thank you for that.
Channel Radio News Update.
Thanks for that, Bird. I'm just thinking, going back to the T-Levels thing, I spent yesterday in a school. I was at Bethany School in Goudhurst with Young Enterprise, which I'm involved with, and we were doing a thing called the Tenor Challenge, and it was absolutely brilliant. We had quite young children, actually, age 11, 12, 13, who have engaged in the Tenor Challenge. And basically, we gave them all £10 and the opportunity to make more money out of it. And we had a really brilliant day doing loads of role plays and workshops. I was a bead salesman.
Selling what?
Beads. And they were making jewellery out of the beads. It was really good fun. We had brilliant fun. I made tons of money.
Do you know what? I used to do this with my little people.
Yeah.
Honestly, we used to do this at home all the time. And they'd look at me like... And I'd give them, I wasn't as good as you with a tenner, I'd give them a pound and say, how can you make, and I used to give them a deadline as well.
Yeah.
It would drive them mad, as you can imagine.
So, but yeah, that was good fun.
It was really good fun.
No, we really enjoyed it. Yeah. Anyway, do you know what we're going to do now?
No.
We're going to go over to John Francis in the Channel Radio newsroom and we're going to have a news update and all that kind of stuff. And then we'll be back in the second half of the show with another great guest to talk to. What do you reckon?
Let's do it.
Does it sound all right? Let's do it then.
On the Hour, Channel Radio News Update.
Business Secretary Greg Clark says the government's